Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We continue with a discussion on how international markets have been reacting to the election of President Donald Trump. Although many are saying that his rhetoric was predictable, there are still market jitters that are impacting on the markets, especially emerging markets. We spoke about it yesterday on what is Donald Trump going to do as soon as he steps into the White House. Elon Musk is already proclaiming on that, saying that they are going to cut spending drastically. Defense is one of those areas that they're looking at. All eyes are glued on the United States since last week, since that conclusive victory by Donald Trump. And we speak about it some more now, following more market reaction to Group Chief Economist at Old Mutual, Johannes Els, on the possible economic outcomes going further. Johanna, very good evening to you. I know we spoke in the past couple of days when the news was still fresh and there were no doubts about it, and it was pretty clear following Kamala Harris's concession that there wasn't going to be any contestation of that election win.
Good evening. Yes, absolutely. But certainly markets are a bit upset, and I think market volatility will continue. It's unclear how soon and how extensive the campaign promises by President-elect Trump will translate into actual policy change. And fortunately, the Federal Reserve Board last Thursday said they are going to wait until such time as policies have been implemented before they go and model the impact on the economy, on inflation, and before they will actually decide on interest rates. So that's a bit of a calming measure from the Fed to say that they will continue with interest rate cuts until such time as they've seen the actual policy implementation. I think that's a very prudent approach. So for now, I think the base case will continue to play out despite some market uncertainty around that. And the base case basically is continued rate cuts because inflation is easing, because economic growth is softer than what it was last year and earlier this year. So rate cuts in the US is actually quite beneficial to emerging markets and to South Africa, and especially for the rand as well. But it might take some time before markets actually realize this is what the Fed is going to continue to do.
And the effect of higher tariffs, particularly in China, that's something we discussed the last time, but the uncertainty, the nervousness around that continues. Is it because it can drive inflation higher and bind central banks in terms of how to react? Or is it also because we're going to see more investors park their money in U.S. assets?
Yeah, I think it's that, and the combination with other Trump policies like tighter immigration control, which will also lead to higher inflation. Certainly, as you mentioned, the tariff hikes will also lead to higher consumer goods prices in the U.S. So, as we said last time, it's not, as Donald Trump said, the Chinese who will bear the cost of higher tariffs. It's the U.S. consumer. So that's higher inflation and also tax cuts. That eventually leads to stronger economic growth, which eventually leads to higher inflation. And because the budget deficit in the U.S. is then higher and debt rises stronger, that's also upward pressure on interest rates. But the rest of the world, the impact is unclear. Initially, I think higher inflation in the US, higher interest rates, that's not so great for the rest of the world. But then there might be mitigating factors, like the Chinese authorities might stimulate the economy quite substantially to get rid of some of the big negative impacts of the policies on them. And that stimulation might then help and negate some of the negatives in terms of emerging economies.
And we've seen, obviously, the continuation of discourse around this, giving support to the Green Pact and pressuring emerging market currencies. But what can, is there a safe place or a soft spot in terms of the pressure that may be anticipated? Could we see money managers perhaps moving their monies to Southeast Asia, for instance, in India?
Oh, it's unclear. It depends on how these things play out over the next several months. If the Fed continues with their rate cutting cycle, as they actually said last Thursday, that still means that the sort of risk on trade is alive. Better underlying growth in emerging economies versus developed economies. So better growth in emerging economies versus the US. So I think lots of foreign investors are looking at that stall. But then some of those investors might actually think that the policy implementation in the US might come quicker, and they're not willing to move monies to emerging economies. So I think that is the environment that will create lots of volatility. The Fed's rate cuts, I think, will continue deep into next year, at least for the first half of next year. And I think that is still the environment that foreign investors should be focusing on. Better returns in emerging economies. The Fed keep on cutting rates, so lower returns in the US. But certainly the win by Donald Trump has created lots more uncertainty around that. But I think he's only going to be inaugurated on the 20th of January, and then it might take some time to fully implement his policies. At the moment, control of the House of Representatives hasn't been decided yet. There are still a number of seats where results are outstanding. It's not inconceivable, perhaps low probability, but it's not inconceivable that the Democrats might win control. Even if the Republicans win control there, it's going to be a very small margin. So it's shown over the last 2 years with a small margin of majority in the House that the Republicans suffered in terms of getting policies through. So it's not going to be that easy to push through all the promised policies. So I think there's lots of uncertainty around that. And that's why I think the Fed rate cuts will continue, the risk on trade will continue, and the benefit will come through after this initial week or two or three of volatility. So I still think a softer dollar and a stronger rand is on the cards for at least another few months.
The timing of the implementation of these policies is obviously critical, but I'd imagine the whom as well. A lot of investors are closely tracking the cabinet appointments. We've just seen, although he's not going to be a full-on government employee, but he will have a special designation. Elon Musk, he has been announced alongside billionaire Vivek Ramaswamy, entrepreneur, who will lead the new Department of Government Efficiency. Elon Musk has said that he could cut at least $2 trillion from the U.S. federal budget. Where would he likely start trimming?
It's very difficult because I've read a number of reports from experts in U.S. fiscal numbers, budget numbers. There are so many fixed expenditures in terms of interest payments is the big one. Then entitlement programs like medical aid, Medicare, etc. Defense spending, a huge part of that is a fixed number. It's going to be very difficult to get to a number of $2 trillion. I'm pretty sure there's lots of areas where numbers can be cut, inefficiencies, etc. But the experts seem to think that $2 trillion seems to be far too big a number to get to. But certainly, the point here is that there's probably the most unconventional cabinet appointees from Trump in many decades in the US. And there's lots of areas of conflict of interest between Trump and his between Elon Musk and his companies. Got a lot of business with the U.S. federal government. So there are a number of ethical issues around that as well. But as we've seen with the first Trump presidency, he doesn't care about these things. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to be lots of interesting times ahead.
Well, one thing that he has never shied away from is how he feels about the immigrant population in the United States. And you've said it could cause discomfort and it would certainly limit labor supply, thus resulting in higher wage and salary pressure on the U.S. But wasn't that one of the driving factors that actually got Donald Trump into the White House?
Absolutely. I think that's where he gained a lot of votes through his attention on immigration. That was one of the big areas where the Democratic candidate lost the argument with Donald Trump, absolutely. And perhaps initially, everybody in the US, US citizens will think that higher wages and salaries, that's great for them, absolutely. But it comes down to the overall impact on the US economy, immigration and again tariffs as well, tax cuts as well. There might be a booming period for the US economy and consumers might be feeling very well. But in a typical well-run economy, there's always a balance between the fiscal policy and monetary policy. So whatever happens from the fiscal side, that might, as we expect, lead to higher inflation. The Fed will not like that higher inflation. So what's given away on the fiscal side, the Fed eventually will take back through higher interest rates. So it might create a bit of a more volatile cycle in the US economy. Initially, a big strong boost, especially if you think about significant tax cuts and deregulation of the economy next year. So markets will probably like that quite a bit. But some of those market participants will start to look through that and realize that eventually that boost to the economy will lead to higher inflation and the Fed will then start hiking rates. Because the Fed has shown in this past cycle as well that they want to bring inflation back to their target, which is 2% in the US, and they will do so, even if they have to be aggressive in doing that. So what is given away on the fiscal side will be taken back on the monetary side.
And global supply chains, will they be disrupted, especially companies that rely heavily on US sales?
I think that takes somewhat longer, but we've seen that they have already adjusted. Chinese exports to the U.S. used to be 19% of total Chinese exports went to the U.S. Back in 2017, that's already down to 15%. So past increases in tariffs have already seen some adjustment in those global supply chains. So, yeah, but it takes a while. It's not immediate. It takes a while. So initially, the Chinese economy will be under pressure, but they will counteract through policy support. For instance, tax cuts to support consumer spending, perhaps far bigger fiscal spending to support infrastructure projects, etc. So there will be counterbalancing efforts from other governments in this process as well.
So the next 3 to 6 months for now is what's to watch. But as you say, there are longer term ramifications. Thank you so much for speaking to us, sharing your thoughts. Johanna Els, Group Chief Economist at Old Mutual.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.